of Harrison. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will take care of you. Yes, I will help you. I am thy God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Therefore, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let us begin this morning with a word of prayer to the heavenly throne of God. Pray in the Spirit to the Father in and through the authority of the Son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the privilege and the opportunity to pray to you. To come together, Heavenly Father, and study your word and worship together. Worshiping the sovereign, only God of all the universe. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We praise you. We pray that all that we study this morning will be led by your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. I'm told we have a multitude of new listeners. You've tuned in to Spring Valley Bible Church. We're on the internet.org, springvalleybiblechurch.org. I am Herman Maddox, pastor of Spring Valley Bible Church. Graduated from Dallas Seminary in 1974, majoring in Old Testament languages, namely Hebrew and Aramaic. Been teaching the Word of God and studying the Word of God for close to 46 years now. We welcome you. Hope that our study of the Word of God gives you encouragement, comfort, and a closer relationship with the Lord. Now, on Sunday mornings, we're in the midst of studying what I call spiritual love. Very quickly, very simply, I call it spiritual love. It is from the Holy Spirit. Love of the flesh does not count before God. Secondly, it is poured into a new spiritual creation. That is, every person who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior becomes a new spiritual creation. And finally, it has spiritual impact. Now, in my opinion, there is no more important doctrine for the Christian than spiritual love during this pandemic. I hear about parents that are losing it with their children, being at home with them all day. I'm hearing that they think there might be a spike in divorces between husbands and wives. This is why Jesus Christ gave us the new commandment in John 13 to love one another as he loved. It's a good time, this pandemic. It's a good time to check your relationship in your marriage, your family, and with the Lord. It's a good time to check it. Spiritual love can only come to a believer, and then only a believer filled with the Holy Spirit, so it is paramount that every believer knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of good preachers out there in the world today teaching works for spirituality. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to yield. You've got to do something. They're right on the gospel for salvation. By grace through faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But when it comes to a believer in sin, the darkness of sin, getting back into the light of the Holy Spirit, oh, now you got to work. Now you got to do something. No, people. God's plan is always by grace through faith. That's God's plan. So it is simply putting your faith in the Holy Spirit, and He empowers you. Spiritual love is one of those things that is lacking in the whole world today. Loving as Jesus Christ loves. Now, a lot of preachers and people talk about love. How they love everyone. How they love the adulterer. How they love the homosexual. How they love the pedophiles. And on and on and on it goes. What do you mean when you say you love someone? What do you mean? Does that mean you love their lifestyle? Does that mean that you welcome them into your fellowship? What does that mean? What does your love mean? And for that matter, what do you mean when you tell your husband, your wife, that you love them? What do you mean? See, our pattern is taken from God. God loves the world. John 3:16. A world of sinners, enemies, alienated from Him. He loved them. His love saw a deed. His love did not just accept everyone. Well, I love them anyway. No. His righteousness would not allow that. But His love saw the need, the cure. And so He acted. Love acts. We'll find that out. He responded to their need by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to bear the judgment of the sins of the world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the next thing you want to learn about spiritual love acts. It sees a need. Now, do you see the need in your home? Do you see the need in your marriage? Does your love see the need of your children, your husband, your wife, your family? See, spiritual love sees a need. Then, it meets that need, fulfills that need to the best that you can. Think about it. Spiritual love is what is needed at this time throughout the whole world, and we're not going to see very much of it. Why is spiritual love the solution? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to look at some things that spiritual love will accomplish. First of all, it says spiritual love is long-suffering. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Spiritual love is long-suffering. That means it suffers long before it acts or reacts. See? If there's ever been a time when needed for our love to be long-suffering, it's now when we're confined with each other in a close confinement day in and day out. How long does your love suffer with those you are confined with at home? Are you short-tempered? That's not spiritual love. That's not long-suffering. Do you go hide in another room? Run outside? That's not long-suffering. Do you take it? Do you take the neglect of husband, wife, children, parents, others? Do you take their neglect without reacting? That's long-suffering. Remember the Greek word for long-suffering. We've studied this before. Makrothumia. It's a Greek word. Makrothumia. It's a verb. Not a noun. Not a descriptive adjective. It's a verb. Love acts. Spiritual love acts. See, I love you. That means I will be observant of your need and will meet your need. Love acts. And The action refers to his long suffering in regard to others. Now, to other people. Now, there's another Greek word that is hupomone. Hupomone refers to what we'll use the word patience. Patience in regard to things. And again, this is much needed today. People aren't just running around taking care of your garage door. Something won't work around the house. You can't get a plumber. You can't get this. You can't get that. A hupomone gives you patience in regard to things in life. Action. Are you losing it? Because things are going wrong, not going the way you would like them to? Being at home all day? Do you lose it with things? Now, our study is, do you lose it with people? Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. Next, spiritual love is kind. Kind. When we're through today, sit down and try to define the word kind. It's a difficult word to define. We know it. We know it when we receive it. We're not too sharp on giving it out. But we know it when we receive it. Love is kind. That's a tough one. But it's much needed in the time of close confinement. Being kind through your husband, your wife, your children, whoever's in the house confined with you. Your parents. See? Now, I'm afraid that a lot of people today, especially our young people, that it's all about me. Well, I'm sorry. One thing this COVID-19 has done is caused us to realize it's not all about me. There are a lot of other people. You must be thoughtful of others. You must be thoughtful of your parents, thoughtful of your children, thoughtful of your wife, thoughtful of your husband, thoughtful of your parents, thoughtful of others if you go out. Thoughtful. You may have no sign of COVID-19, but you're a carrier. Be thoughtful. Stay a proper distance away from them. It's recommended 6 to 12 feet. Be thoughtful. Kind to other people. See? Long-suffering in regards to them. Kind every day, all day long. And you do this in the power of the Holy Spirit who is inside of you. Spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, not of our flesh nature. The flesh nature cannot do this. I think every one of you know by now, if you're over 10 years old, flesh nature doesn't last very long before it reacts, before it's all about me, not about kindness to other people. Now we have some negatives. Paul now goes into some negatives about spiritual love that will happen to us if we're controlled by the Spirit. It is not jealous or envious of what others have. Don't be jealous, envious of what others have, what they're doing. Spiritual love does not boast. I hear subtle boasting today. Well, I don't have coronavirus. We don't have it. Our church can meet. Our organization can meet. I can go mingle. Boast. Pride cometh before the fall. Remember that. And that brings us to the next one. Spiritual love is not arrogant. You know how arrogant manifests itself in you? Gotta have your own way. Gotta be the boss. Gotta run things your way. And if things aren't done your way around this house, you want to know why. And you're getting ready to get mad at somebody. Straighten them out. That's spiritual love. That's not the way to rear children. It's not the way to love a woman. It's not the way to love a man. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Say, Eric, yes.
If we call for negative attention, like trying to like be a child, right, and just trying to stir up trouble for our parents to pay attention to us instead of anybody else, would that also be considered arrogant?
No, because the parent's job is to take care of the children. It is to take care of them. There are things that we expect. Now, if you don't get it, spiritual love is long-suffering. Got you either way you look at it. Got you. Covered. See? Arrogance, got to watch what I want to watch on TV. Well, right now, there may be just one TV in your house and five or six people. It's not always going to be what you want. See? Not always going to be what you want. Arrogance is all about you. Spiritual love is about others. Here's a big one at this time of close confinement. Spiritual love does not act unbecomingly. Wow. Now we're getting a little personal, aren't we? Doesn't act unbecomingly. See? Just the way you act, is it ugly? What's unbecoming? Well, let me humorously put it this way. A frying pan flying across the room is not acting becomingly. That's unbecoming. See? So, if you're acting selfishly, that's not going to bring about actions unbecomingly. Acting in a way that even you don't like. Now, what's the solution? People, this is important. The solution is not to get control of yourself. Discipline yourself so that you don't lose your temper, so that you are not jealous or envious, so that you do not boast and you're not arrogant. You don't make that kind of a decision. See? The solution and the bringing in of spiritual love is to make a decision about you and God the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible doesn't say you are long-suffering. The Bible doesn't say you do not act unbecomingly. The Word of God says spiritual love does not act unbecomingly. So it's not making a decision about these things. No, no, it's much simpler than that. Are in some ways more difficult. It's by simply trusting the Holy Spirit. Making a decision about the Holy Spirit. Letting Him empower me. Letting Him lead me. Guide my thoughts. So you make a decision to walk by the Holy Spirit. So that He will pour His love, His fruit, into you. That does not act unbecomingly. Fruit of the Spirit is love, spiritual love. You see, people, you're not long-suffering, you're not kind, you're not acting unbecomingly. Spiritual love is the subject. The love that God pours into us is kind. The love that God pours into us is long-suffering. Not you and I. This love. We want people to see the love of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. Spiritual love is the love of Christ. I want people to see the love of Christ coming from me. So we don't make a decision to discipline ourselves. That's arrogance. Can't do it. The flesh fights the spirit. So what we have to make a decision is submit completely to the leading of the Holy Spirit. See? It's so important. Understand this very important principle. The interpretation of 1 Corinthians 13. You are not the manifestation of these things. You're not the subject of these manifestations. Spiritual love is the subject. This is the way love, God's love, spiritual love, acts. Spiritual love is the subject. The Bible does not define love. It describes love. It defines faith, but does not define love. It describes love. What spiritual love looks like when it's present. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 is about. It has 16 impacts. If spiritual love is there, these things are there. If spiritual love is not there, these things will be there. It's that simple. So as you think about yourself in a day in and day out confinement, make a decision about you and the third member of the Godhead who resides in you. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 and Galatians 5. Say, keep in step with Him. Each one of these is not fulfilled by the flesh, but by simple faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit, for by grace, through faith. God sent His Son for eternal salvation. God sent His Spirit for spiritual salvation, experiential deliverance from the power of sin. Now, something very beautiful about spiritual love, it does not seek its own. The way we humans love, something like, I love you, therefore you ought to do what I say. I love you, therefore you ought to please me. Or something like, after all my love is done for you, after all I've done for you, you ought to do this. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love does not seek its own. One of the great qualities of the action of spiritual love is that it does not seek its own praise or its own satisfaction. It doesn't demand that. It doesn't seek that. God continues to love even when we as believers are out of fellowship, out of His will, in sin, in abominable sins. His love does not go away. He still loves. Now, here's what we all need. Spiritual love is not provoked. Ooh, provoked. Have you ever seen someone who tries to look so cool, so suave, so in control, and then all of a sudden something happens, and boom! There goes all the facade. There goes everything. See? I just saw it on TV, Joe Biden. He loves that smile of his. He thinks that's going to get him votes. And he just loves to smile. Well, somebody came up to him and said something about gun control. See? So, the moment that happened, boy, you could see it right there. He lost it. There went his cool. There went that smile. There went all that pleasantness. The real Joe Biden stepped out. See? So, someone just pricks at you the right way. Arouse your anger, your disgruntled, displeasure, and you've got to display it. You've got to show it to others. See? Have you ever been walking along and been stung by a bee? Wow! All of a sudden. Well, that's what it's talking about here. It's not easily provoked. People, what's going on in the world has never happened before in church age history. Check it out. Everything is new. This is not just in the West. It's in the West and East. It's not just in Americas. It's all over the world. It affects everybody, everywhere. Everything is new. Politics, solutions, vaccines, medical equipment. We should be pulling together as a nation. People are dying. I want you to think about when you hear this on TV. That means somebody's mother, wife, husband, children, relative, someone close to them has died. People are dying all over the world. And they're close to someone. We should band together. We've got a common enemy. But not the Democrats. The Democrats do everything they can to criticize and disrupt. I hope that most Americans have the good sense to work this out and see they are a detriment to the leading administration, not a help. They criticize almost everything, and it's not constructive criticism. Don't criticize, parents teach your children this, don't criticize unless you have a correction, some sort of solution to follow up with it. A lot of people just love to criticize what's going on. They do not care about the thousands of Americans dying. They're playing politics. Leaders of a nation need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and spiritual love, especially in a time like this. We need to band together, people. And as Christians, you and I have something that bands us together. The Holy Spirit, spiritual love, the perfect bond of unity. It's absolutely wonderful. See? Can you see yourself at home, though? With those that are close to you? You lose it? Or does spiritual love shine forth? Now, here's one for politics, but also for all of us at home. Spiritual love does not take into account a wrong suffered. People, let's face it. Our flesh nature knows everything that is done to it that's wrong. You just did this to me. You just hurt me. On and on and on. Spiritual love does not take it into account. What that means is it doesn't take it into account so as to react and not give spiritual love back. Not be kind, long-suffering, back. That's what it means. Does not take into account when wronged. Spiritual love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Divine love, and remember, spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit, who is God. So we're talking about divine love through a human creature, a human believer. Divine love, spiritual love, and righteousness go together. There are multitude of verses where they are together. God loves righteousness. And spiritual love will also love righteousness and not rejoice in unrighteousness. Practical application. When someone, right there in your own family, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, in your room, acts or speaks in an unrighteous manner, which means they sin. For unrighteousness is a sin. You do not rejoice with them. Next, spiritual love rejoices with the truth. I grasp how the people like to point out when they feel that Trump has said something untrue. Of course, this depends, whether something is true or not true, depends on your source of your source. One doctor says this, another doctor says that, you quote this doctor, well, according to the people that listen to him, you're wrong. You quote that doctor, according to these people, you're wrong. What is your source of being able to quote something? And then what is your source for criticizing it as being untrue? That's very important. When you accuse somebody of not being true, be careful when you judge someone. And always remember, truth is found in the Word of God. Now, spiritual love bears all things. As we will see, this is a tricky one. On the cross, the love of Christ bore all the sins of the world. All of them. The ones that horrify you, and the ones we're used to that don't horrify us so much. People, when we're in such close confinement with one another, we need to bear with one another. We used to call it put up. Put up with one another. That's part of marriage. You learn to put up. See, when you're single, you finally reach that point, up to a degree, where you put up with yourself. If every single person is honest, there are things I don't like about myself, but I put up with me. It's better than the alternative. See? Well, when you marry, same thing. You got to learn to put up. See? With each other. See? That's what you've got to do. Now, what this means is that God puts up with everything we do. He bears all the wrong and doesn't react. Next, love believes all things. Oh, boys, this would have been twisted. This does not mean by any way that spiritual love believes lies. That spiritual love believes false religions like Islam, Hindu, Mormonism, all the rest of it. This does not mean that God's love, spiritual love, comes from God. So when it says spiritual love believes all things, it does not mean that spiritual love believes that sin is okay. A lot of preachers are preaching that. Well, it doesn't matter what your sin is, come on in. We welcome all sinners, and that's true, we do welcome all sinners. If we didn't welcome sinners, we'd be more empty than we are right now in our churches. See? What this means is, it believes everything the Word of God says about love. Do you believe that spiritual love will always be kind, long-suffering? I do. I believe it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Spiritual love believes this. When the Word of God says that spiritual love is the perfect bond of unity, spiritual love believes it. Spiritual love believes all that the Word of God says about spiritual love. Spiritual love hopes all things. We all know how important hope is to our lives. But spiritual love does not hope that sin will someday be called okay before God. It won't. It won't. Does not mean spiritual love, does not mean and hope that one day immorality and abominable acts, adultery, promiscuity, homosexuality, pedophilia will all be okay someday. No. Spiritual love hopes that love is to do well in the midst of all these things. Let me see if I can give you some idea of what I'm talking about here. Open your Bibles. This is a Bible church. Got a Bible? Open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Just to give you an idea of what this means, hopes all things. So, verse Isaiah 55:11, so will my word be, which goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desired, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. I believe that. No, I don't see the accomplishment every time I speak the Word of God. You won't see every person you give the gospel to believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. The people, I believe, that the Word of God will not return without succeeding its purpose. If you give the gospel to a person and they do not believe, I do not believe you failed. If you've given them the true gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved by grace alone, faith alone, Jesus Christ alone. You've not failed if they say no. The gospel will convict or condemn them. So it is with spiritual love. If we love in the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, it will not fail in its purpose. You may not even see it in your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, and so forth that you're confined with. It doesn't matter. You do not withdraw spiritual love. You know it will bear its fruit. Now, one that I love, spiritual love endures all things. In your close confinement, spiritual love will endure your husband. He is a pain in the neck. And ladies, I know that. Husbands are a pain in the neck. See? Spiritual love will give you the ability to endure it. See? Wives, they're a pain in the neck. See? Spiritual love will give you the power and ability to endure them. See? Spiritual love gives you the... Your husband will irritate you, ladies. Men, your wives will irritate you. Oh, you already know that. Okay. Now, let's go beyond that. Spiritual love endures your wife, your husband, when they aggravate you. Spiritual love, endures your children during this time. Don't beat them, people. Don't withdraw your love. They're children. God has given you their as a blessing. Teach them how to handle catastrophe. Never before in your life will you have the opportunity to teach your children what you have the opportunity to teach them now. If they learn how to handle the confinement and all the restrictions of coronavirus, you've given them a big step for handling things throughout the rest of their life. And then it concludes with the all-inclusive love never fails. That does not mean you will see. That does not mean you will always get your way. But it will not fail in keeping you composed in your relationship with the Lord, in your relationship with Him. So, go over these again. This is the commandment, the new commandment by Jesus Christ, John 13. It is never more needed than now. But I want to close this morning with something about love that will be necessary to every family, every couple, every individual at this time when we're in close confinement. Spiritual love forgives. That's right. Little is more important at this time than forgiveness. Forgiveness in home, family, grocery store, work, government, wherever you go. So many Democrats are ready to judge and act and attack President Trump instead of forgiving and helping to resolve the crisis. Let me see if I can help you, not criticize you, help you. See? No one has all the answers. No one doctor, no one scientist. My goodness, you bring up two or three professionals on something, you get two or three different views. See? So, let's forgive. Let's forgive. Let's get back to the homes where we must learn to forgive one another. Children must learn to forgive their parents. Parents must learn to forgive their children. Brothers must forgive their sisters. Sisters must forgive their brothers. Brothers forgive brothers. Sisters forgive sisters. See? We must forgive one another in life. Husbands must forgive their wives. Wives must forgive their husbands. This is a tough time, people. It's never been like this before. A lot of ladies are not able to go to the beauty salon. Their nails are going to go wrong and they're going to claw you, men. Be careful. you might see the real color of their hair. Ladies, you might see the real color of who, what he is. We've got to learn to forgive. We've got to learn to help. You're learning things about each other that you'd never know under other circumstances. Nails, hair. Wives, forgive your husbands. Let me tell you something, ladies. Most men, not all, most men have been reared, you got to go to work. Genesis chapter 3. It's a curse. Men, go fight the dragons. Go to work. Take care of your family. Provide for them. When we're not able to, it affects our souls. It affects our lives. Remember that, ladies. Forgive them. Don't try to understand them. Forgive them. Forgive your husband. Forgive your wives. This is a difficult time. Forgive your children. This is a difficult time. Forgive your parents. Forgive people in the store. Forgive people in life. Don't carry it with you. Don't react and become angry. Where does this come from in the Word of God? If you will, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter, a transgression, separates intimate friends. Now this verse demands a couple of hours' work. We'll spend a couple of minutes on it. Short time we have. I know many people who take pride in that they could separate married people. They could separate intimate friends. Well, I know something more, and I could go tell the other one, and have a look, and see, they say, I did right. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Just because you broke up a marriage, just because you broke up a church, just because you broke up a friendship, does not mean you did right. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Spiritual love seeks to build up, not tear down, not separate. Just because you cause friends, spouses, family members to separate does not mean you were right. One of the most difficult things that spiritual love will allow you to do is keep your mouth shut. That's what spiritual love will allow you to do. Keep your mouth shut. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. The verse is making it very clear. Spiritual love seeks to build, seeks to edify, seeks to build up. See, you know doctrine. You know right and wrong. This person's done wrong, so you're going to go tell everybody you're wrong. You're wrong. See? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You catch a believer in a sin, and that could either be caught up in a trend of sin or actually in an act of sin. Restore such a one. Don't tear him down. Restore him. Restore him back to the filling of the Spirit. See, that's what spiritual love seeks. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love, spiritual love, covers all transgressions. Well, you mean I'm just supposed to let them get away with? People, no one's going to get away with sin. And God did not appoint you to be His Gestapo. He is well able to take care of everything. He doesn't need your help. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Keep your mouth shut. See, you keep your mouth shut to others, open your mouth to God. That's what you want to learn to do. Father, I just come aware of something. Guide me. Lead me. What to do, what not to do. What to say, what not to say. See? Let's go to another one. New Testament. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 8. I love Peter. He's the first person that the resurrected Christ saw. Now, other people saw him before Peter did, but as far as Christ seeking someone, Peter was the first person that the resurrected Christ saw. Now, so he's learned a lot. 1 Peter 4, 8. By the way, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We will have a resurrection special in this class and in the second class. We'll take a look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its implementations in dealing with coronavirus. Yeah, we're going to study that next week. But let's take a look here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love. Well, now, isn't that nice? Keep fervent in your love. How do you keep fervent in spiritual love? Make that decision. Discipline yourself. Be a man about it. Head up straight. Chin up, chest out, gut in. See? And you just keep fervent. See? First you have to know how spiritual love comes through you. Spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit. He pours spiritual love into us when we walk by faith in Him. So, if you want to keep fervent in your love, you keep fervent in your faith toward the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Faith is so powerful. Hey, faith is the battle. The flesh nature does not want to do faith because the flesh nature wants to take credit. I want to do something. That's where work salvation. Why are so many people have a work salvation? To be saved, you've got to join a church. You've got to give money to the church. You've got to walk an aisle. I love that we have a lot of churches closed down because that takes the church out of salvation. Does this mean when churches closed down, no one can be saved? Absolutely not. You don't walk an aisle to be saved. You don't join a church to be saved. Neither do you walk an aisle, join a church, do anything like this to be filled with the Spirit. By faith. Simple faith. Remember, angels are watching. They're watching us. And we as an unbeliever, we come to God with an open hand with nothing in it but faith. Angels don't look here because there's nothing to see. They look at God. Is that going to be enough? Is faith enough for you, God? And God smiles and says, yes, that's all I want. And here's a believer trapped in sin. They come to God, faith. Nothing in the van. Not a promise I'll never do it again. I'm sorry I did it. I'll never do it again. I trust you. I trust the one you sent, your Spirit. And angels say, is that going to be enough? That's a believer sinning. Is that going to be enough? God said, that's all I want. People, the greatest praise that we can give God is to trust Him. That's the greatest worship. Trust Him. Trust Him. Not many people do it. Are you brave enough just to trust Him? Are you humble enough? I can't do it without you. I need you. I trust you to do it. So, the passage says, above all, keep fervent in your love, spiritual love. Now, we've studied how do you keep fervent? Keep walking in the Spirit by spiritual love. Now, for love for one another, spiritual love for one another. I taught this years ago. In the Greek, there are two different words for one another. There is another of a different kind, another of the same kind. The Greek word for spiritual love that Jesus Christ commands in John 13, love for another believer. Well, aren't we supposed to love the unbeliever? By all means. But people, it's easy to love an unbeliever. We don't expect anything from them. You let a believer turn on you. You let a believer sin. You let a believer really let you down. And now, the test is on. See, it's more difficult to keep spiritual love toward another believer than it is an unbeliever. It's easy to love an unbeliever. Sometimes it's very difficult to love a believer, especially when that believer is your husband, believer is your wife, your children, your parents, your pastor. People in the church. See? That's more difficult. Because we expect so much more of them. But the new commandment is to love one another of the same kind. Other believers. So, Peter says in 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Because, now why do we want to do this? Love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? You don't get bent out of shape. You know, sometimes somebody sins and people just get all out of shape. See? Especially if he's a pastor or some kind of a leader. Oh my goodness. How could that happen? How could someone that I revere do that? And then we turn against him and want to tear him down. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't get you. Their sins do not get you into sin. Their sins do not cause you to sin and get out of fellowship. How about that? Somebody else can sin and it not disturb you. You continue right along in your relationship with the Lord. See? People are going to hurt one another. We're going to sin against one another. We're confined with them all day and all night. Learn to forgive one another. Forgiveness will be so valuable at this time of close confinement, people. Husbands, be a leader. Lead your family in forgiveness. Wives, be a leader. Even teach your husband forgiveness. Parents, teach your children about forgiveness at this time. Children, they must learn to forgive their parents. Parents are not perfect. Wherever everybody got the idea parents are perfect, they blew it. No one's perfect. Not the pastor, not anyone is perfect. Got to learn to forgive and move on. Continue with what we're here for. Proclaim Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. See, that's what we're here for. So learn to forgive one another. Well, we'll continue here next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning we're going to talk about spiritual love and the resurrection of Christ. It's Resurrection Sunday, celebration of His resurrection. I hate the word Easter. It's not in the Bible. Not in the New King James. It's in the Old King James. It comes from a goddess, Esther. So let's forget Easter. Let's never forget resurrection. Not for a day, not for an hour. Christ rose from the dead in our behalf for justification. We'll note this next week. Well, I hope some of these things have helped you in this time of confinement with one another. Learn to love one another when it's difficult to love. That's what spiritual love does. And that's how you'll come close to God. God loves even when we sin. God loves Israel through all of its sins. Let's learn about love. That we can build our love, build our marriages, build our homes during this time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your love. So great a love. We're so thankful for it. And then, Father, to just think that you have given to us your Spirit who can pour your love and it become out of us. That's just astounding. That's remarkable. But it can happen. We can love just like Christ. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.